Tips from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children have led to charges against the Lafayette man.
I think as we get into the overnight hours, we're probably going to see a few more snow showers develop. There's a little disturbance here in Missouri.
He was arrested on a warrant for dealing cocaine at Worley's Inn on South 3rd Street, Logansport. He's the Democratic candidate running for state representative and district.
Initially, Judge Steve Meyer sentenced Stephen Burns to 70 years behind bars. But before he left the courtroom, the sentence was even longer.
Aw, shit, it's another episode of the Live from the 765. Do you know that I need to dive into a thing, a gravy, because it's Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving, guys. It's the night before. I feel like a kid on Christmas, but the kid on Christmas is a diabetic because he's so fat, because that's what's probably going to happen. Just go upstairs, dude. Get a little private bowl on your way to your ma'am and pop-pop's house, because here we go. Realized on my introduction, I said ma'am, and pop, which ma'am is just not a real thing. Like, no one actually says that unless it's usually like a Chili's manager, like a manager of like a Chili's restaurant, and he's like ma'am, and that's ma'am. It's usually pop and mama. There's a mama, or I don't know. We do, like, my daughters do, Lily, KK, a lot of different things, but no one actually is called ma'am. So, let's get right into it, bud. So, after more than 2,000 cases of vaping-associated illnesses that have been reported in the United States, the CDC said they actually have found the cause. Apparently what the cause is vitamin E acetate could be the cause for many of these e-cigarette-related drug injuries. A lot of people thought that it was ovarian cancer or menstrual cycles or something like that. A lot of these men were getting hurt, apparently, with their ovarian issues. But apparently it is these vitamin E acetates could be the cause. Now, here's the fun part, okay? People have been vaping for years, and there was nobody getting sick. And now everybody's like, oh my gosh, like, all these people are getting sick from all these vapes. It's got to be the vapes. There's something different in them. Yeah, that's because they're from THC and from Colorado, bud. That's probably that's probably the reason. I don't understand, like, I really don't get it, because I knew this shit, like, at the very beginning. Like, from the very beginning, I was like, oh, okay. Well, then, you know, because every news report you read, they were like, well, they've also all been found with THC in their blood. And it's like, okay, well, I'm going to go out on a limb here and go, it's probably from these THC vapes that they're getting off the Wish.com app, or the Wish app from China. Or from, you know, somebody who doesn't have capital to actually make an actual thing, so that, like, you know, you go to a party and it's like, oh yeah, dude, like, I'm a farmer now, dude. And you're like, oh really? What are you farming? Just dab pens, dude. Just making the oils. That's all I do, dude. Everybody else is farming, I'm oiling. And you're like, whatever, man. You're just making shit up. So that's cool. That's fun. Also, little fun fact, an update to this story, because I took a picture of this just the other day. But New York, I think it was New York. Yeah, it definitely was. Actually just banned in certain areas of New York. You actually can't get flavored e-cigs anymore. So no e-cigs, no vapes, guys. We're just going to go ahead and help the big tobacco companies out. Just a little bit, and, you know, that's just how it goes, so not a big deal. On to the next story. The last episode, I talked about the crazy Ukrainian girl who We don't know if she was 15 or 34, but she was trying to kill her. Yeah, this is a real story if you didn't know this. This actually made, like, they were talking about this on Joe Rogan the other day. The episode of Joe Rogan and Tom Dillon, or I think it was, yeah, I think his name's Tom Dillon. They were talking about this, and I love Joe Rogan, but he's also real dumb because he, or Tim Dillon, sorry, Tim Dillon. But he also said he was reading like a news article, and he said, "Oh, this is coming from Tippecanoe, Indiana," and I was like, "It's Tippecanoe County." So, but I did agree because he said, "What a dumb name!" And I was like, "Well, you know what?" So this is probably actually this really sounds like it was the article that he was reading, kind of. But a Tippecanoe County judge has issued a gag order in the Barnett's child neglect case on Monday, but it won't bar them from talking to the media. The gag order will limit what both Michael and Christine Barnett are able to talk about with the media. During the hearing, the prosecution claimed that the interviews given by the Barnetts have tainted the public opinion about their adopted daughter. There's nothing to be tainted about their daughter. She's from Ukraine, and she was plotting to kill them. There's nothing to be fucking tainted about that at all, whatsoever. You cannot look at this situation and be like, you guys are trying to taint her name, and that is not acceptable because she does not have the same rights as we do. Yeah, she does, actually, Teresa, okay? She does. And like I said last episode, I'm going to say it again. She pops out of my closet at 2 o'clock in the morning. My foot, her face, 110%. I'll kick a kid, especially, I mean, either way, I'll kick a kid. But if I know that that kid's not really a kid, game on or foot on, however you want to say it, I will knock a bitch out. 100%. First of all, you're scary. Second of all, you're Ukrainian. Third of all, come on, be honest. You're coming out of the closet at 2 a.m. So you probably heard this last week. They were doing the Go Red for Ed. Also, I'm going to take a drink of beer. This beer, I'm going to start doing like a little review maybe of different drinks that I have, but that means I also have to like try different drinks every time, which might be annoying, but let's go ahead. We'll try this one out. Oh yeah. That is called a Pabst Blue Ribbon. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. Hipsters with curly mustaches usually like it. And racist old grandpas usually like it as well. I like it just because it was really the only thing I could afford when I was living in Chicago, and it kind of just stuck with me. So, I mean, it's not a big deal. Either way, moving on. So we went red for Ed last week. All of the teachers in Indiana, about 10,000 registrations and the closings of 100 school districts statewide were in attendance. So put all those numbers in your head. Tippecanoe County, Lafayette School Corporation, and Tippecanoe School Corporation joined with other districts calling off of schools. 12 other area districts were also closed. So they issued statements about, you know, the superintendents. It's like, who cares? Clearly you guys don't. So if you're wondering why they were rallying, what problems do they see with public education in Indiana? I don't know if I really... I mean, I read about it, so that's more important than me trying to take a screenshot of it. But the biggest thing was they don't believe... Well, first off, okay, let's get real. Let's get real with it, because teachers are not being paid correctly in this state. They have not had a raise. Indiana is the last state in the United States, like the oldest state, that has not had a raise. I think like the teachers... And if I'm wrong, please let me know. But I think like the teachers have not had a raise in Indiana since like the 80s, 70s or 80s. And if I'm wrong and it's even older, I mean, clearly that's World War II and 50s, but, or 60s, whatever. But, you know, I think obviously that's a big issue because you have all of these teachers coming into Indiana or coming out of Indiana. They're studying here. And guess what? They would much rather go to the states around Indiana because they're going to get paid more. That's a problem, bud. That's a real problem. Because then what do you have? Well, then you have people who aren't, they don't care. They don't care if they're teaching, right? They don't care if there's no quality. Your quality is going to go down because of the wages. You're not going to have somebody who is like, yeah, I get paid a lot and I love teaching. But this is also a slippery slope because you're also going to get people who, I mean, they don't care either way. But and everybody's had that teacher too. I had a couple different teachers like that in high school. I literally remember a lot of them. But, I mean, that's fine. But they also, they've got like really unrealistic things that they've had to like do now. They've got to take like 15 hours of a internship or some shit every year. And they've got it like continuing education, which like if you're in real estate, that makes sense because laws are always changing. And I understand that education's always changing too, but damn, leave them alone. Let them teach. Do you understand what teaching is all about? You've got all these kids. They're not your kids. They're other people's kids. And you have to make sure that they've got to learn. But then you also, like, in your curriculum, especially in, like, high school, you've got to, like, wrap your mind around the fact that they need to learn the Pythagorean theorem. But then you also get the people who are like, hey, teach us how to do my, you know, teach us how to do our fucking taxes, too. You know, that'd be nice to learn how to do a 1099 if I'm a freelance. You know what I mean? So then you've got to be like, okay, so the Pythagorean theorem and a 1099 form for the IRS, how do I put them together? I don't know. It's your job to figure it out, not mine. But I do believe 110% teachers are not appreciated like they should be. I have the utmost respect for teachers, especially good teachers. So, I wore red at work. I think it's great. The thing is a lot of people are like, well, the state just doesn't have money. No, that's not correct because we're like on a millions plus budget. Like we closed out the fiscal year last year as a state, Indiana did, with like multiple millions. It wasn't like a, well, we got $2 in the bank. We're rich. Let's go buy some bologna and call it a year. No. We could have had, you know, somebody lick caviar off our balls for sure. But the thing is nobody wants to do that, which is unfortunate. Anyways, meth is making a comeback. Woo! Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah, dude. I'm trying to get some of that rocks. Some of them rocks. Not to be confused with Young Rocks, by the way. Meth is making a comeback. This is legit a actual article that was just in the news recently at, when was this? Monday. So this was Monday of this week. This is a good one. This is a good one. Meth is making a comeback. The comeback isn't only happening here in Tippecanoe County, but across the state. One reason police say meth is becoming more prevalent because of a surplus of the drugs on the street. There's been, that was a good one. There's been 401 meth-related arrests so far in 2019, which they say is a 25% increase since 2017. Speaking with my partners over at the Drug Task Force, it is clear that there is a surplus of methamphetamine on the market due to current prices on the street. That's good. It's getting cheaper. Cool. The surplus isn't being manufactured locally anymore. Is Heisenberg doing it? Who knows? Get my reference. We're not seeing people manufacturing meth as we had back in the late 2010s through that period, said Captain, what's his name? Something. Robert something. Okay, so here's my thing. First of all, the meth never left. They're just not getting caught. It's still here, just like heroin. That's like literally somebody being like, heroin's back, baby. Who's trying to get a damn needle in the arm? That's right. We're throwing it down. No, we're not throwing it down. heroin's not coming back. It's always been here. It just, you know, you haven't heard of it. I guarantee, I know they said that the arrests are up 25%. So you know what's happening? The meth is still, we're not getting more meth. The people who are smoking meth are getting dumber. So like they're like legit going to McDonald's, getting pissed that the Dr. Cheese, or, you know, that the double cheeseburger isn't, you know, giving them medical advice, and they're getting pissed and throwing shit and then trying to, you know, run away from McDonald's, and then they're caught with a bag of meth in their pocket. Okay? They're getting dumber. And we know that. That's called literally natural selection. If you're dumb enough to do meth, of course you're going to get caught, no matter what. It's like the same thing as a serial killer. Serial killer never thinks that he's going to get caught, but what happens? Crime junkies, am I right? Listen up. I bet you're saying it. Here, I'll give you a second to say it out loud. What happens when a serial killer gets too confident? They get caught every single time because they get too lenient. Because, you know, after the first murder or whatever, they're like, hey, this is cool, this is good, I want to keep doing this. But then ever so often, every other murder, they get more lenient and more lenient and more lenient and more lenient. Like, I'm reading, well, I like halfway reading, I'm like pretty much done. But it's all about the Golden State Killer. He was around for like legit 15, 20 years, okay? But he also was real dumb. He was real dumb. He'd leave DNA all the time, okay? But then back in the day, they didn't have DNA, so maybe he wasn't really that stupid. Either way, he's in prison. He's going to die. Whatever. Moving on. Also, for anybody who says that meth is going away, please go down to Market Square Lanes and just look around. Go to the Payless off of Greenbush and just look around. Because... Or wait, is it off Greenbush or over in Market Square? No, Sag. I don't even know. I don't even know. You guys know what I'm talking about. That the Payless over by the Arnie's and all that, that you literally go there and you shop so you can feel rich for a little bit. Go down there, take a look around. Meth isn't back, baby. It's always been there, and it's in the ass crack of every single person in that damn Payless. Okay? Okay? I'm just being honest with you. Okay, so we're going to go into this one. We're going to try to get through this one. This is a... So, a big thing's going on right now down at Purdue. So, Mitch Daniels. Dude. Okay, I'm just going to read this to you. You figure it out, okay? As social media hashtags piled up and he was called out by faculty on the University Senate late last week for referring to... Hey, listen up. For referring to a black scholar as, quote, one of the rarest creatures in America and the, quote, rarest phenomenon, Purdue President Mitch Daniels said he has felt his comments were treated unfairly. He said, I've never felt so misunderstood before. I was saying that this very week we're working on a superstar that happens to be African American. It's extraordinarily rare talent and one of our target populations. That's what I said. And to have that stood on its head as an indifference to diversity or worse, it hurts. That's all I say. Okay, I don't know. I don't really understand what he's saying because he also said, that's one of our target populations. So what? What are you trying to say? That a very rare... What? I don't understand. I don't know. The comments are very... They're so scary, I feel. They're literally on the cusp of a KKK meeting. And, okay, maybe that's not fair. Okay, that's kind of... Okay. Oh, okay. That's far stretched. That's... Yeah. Okay. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. But you really... Like, what's rare about it? What's rare? There's a lot of smart African-Americans. I don't get it. That have graduated just probably as much as this person or, you know, as good as this person. So, I don't, dude, you gotta be careful with what you're saying because any way your comments can be misconstrued. And to even say, like, that's our target population. Like, what do you, like, what? So you don't care about any other people? I don't get it. And then that's not a bad thing if that's your prerogative, bruh. But, dear God, watch the comments. That's scary. I've got to talk about Thanksgiving traditions. For me, I usually get up, and it'll kind of be different because I got two daughters this year, and we usually go to Tennessee. This year, we did not go to Tennessee, so we're back here in old Indiana. But what's rare is you get up, you get to watch the Macy's Day Parade, which, fun fact, the wind is so bad in New York, they're actually saying that they're probably going to have to ground all of the balloons. And the reason that they haven't done this since like I think they said like in the 70s this happened. Get this. They've been doing this parade forever. They've had the balloons forever. Not the 70s, 1997. One of the balloons was really high up and it was windy and it came back down and knocked over a light pole and knocked this girl out. Can you understand how pissed you'd be if you were there? This is 1997. So what, a Backstreet Boy balloon, right? So, or an NSYNC. Like, can you imagine if Lance Bass on a balloon came down and just knocked you the fuck out? Yeah, that'd probably make me mad too. So either way, they're thinking about they're going to have to ground the balloons, which kind of sucks. It's not as cool. But that's one thing that I always did, even when I was a kid, watch the Macy's Day Parade. That's always a fun one. And then you go up, you dress up to your nines, make sure any room you go into, pigeons are getting ready to fly out of a box somewhere, have a box ready so that they're there. You got all that classic food ready. What I like to do is you go and you eat, and then you nap. Usually there's an NFL game on by then. So you watch the game, and then you nap mid-game, because like 1 year Pitbull was the halftime show. Like, you don't need to stay awake for that. So you go to sleep, and then you wake back up, and then you start drinking again, and then you start eating again. Now, the year I'm referring to, I was probably like 12 when I started drinking again. But I don't know, something to think about. If I'm going to post this on Facebook, if you're listening to this on whatever, however you stream your podcast, and then you're like, oh, I got a good tradition that I want to tell them about, you should tell me, because that'd be cool. Also, if you're still listening, I do have a challenge for you. I think this year, you stand up when everybody's getting ready to sit down, right after prayer, like my grandpa always prays, right? And then everybody's always messing with your, because we always hold hands, and like my aunts or my cousins or whatever, would always mess with each other's hands, would always itch each other's hands, scratch each other's hands with their fingers. Anyways, right after prayer, everybody sits down, you're getting ready to feast on this food. You're high or you're drunk or whatever. I want everybody to go, and you can snap it or Instagram it. This is the live from the 765 Thanksgiving challenge. You stand up and you go, okay, guys, and you give four of your beliefs, whether they be political, religious, I don't care what they are. I don't care. So like you would stand like, okay, here's just an example. You stand up and you're like, listen up, guys, I don't think Donald Trump's that bad. I stand up for the Second Amendment. I think medical marijuana should be legalized nationwide, and Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. I'm going to go ahead and open up the table for rebuttal, and if you've got a rebuttal, just know we're family, or if you're friends, family, we're friends. I don't disrespect you for rebuttaling me. These are just my beliefs. And I will tell you why they are my beliefs, okay? And we will have a respectful discussion, and you leave that table knowing that it was a respectful discussion and it was worth it, because it's 2019. We should be able to do this now. If it's your racist uncle, just know he's probably going to say some shit that's messed up. But either way, he is your mom's brother, so either way. Try that out. See if you can do it. And this is another episode. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Thanksgiving.
In 1999, J.L. Anderson Heating and Cooling began serving the greater Lafayette, Indiana community. And since that first year, they've grown into a company that has much to offer to homeowners and business owners alike. Their exceptional staff and high-quality product line allows them to provide the finest HVAC service and installation to all of their clients. Over the years, they've served thousands of customers, both commercial and residential. Call JL Anderson Heating and Cooling today.